And we join you today from Denver. Game two tonight, Suns and Nuggets. We are on our high atop rooftop studio near downtown Denver, otherwise known as my son's back porch. You know, he was part of this whole deal back in 2012. So anytime that I can take a moment and tip of the hat to people that have been involved in this for 10, 11 years now, and I can be on their back porch doing a show from Denver, Colorado, outside of Suns, Nuggets, it's a good day. Opening comments brought to you by Desert Financial Credit Union. Desert Financial Credit Union, taking care of you, taking care of your business. As always, we appreciate Desert Financial Credit Union and their support. Fabs is with us today. It is 2 days after the NFL draft. We'll have Michael Fabiano going through all the winners, losers for your fantasy football side of things, because that's what most of you care about anyways. I mean, you may have your team, but like Bijan Robinson might be the best pick in the draft. Of course, we've done stories on Bijan. We know Bijan. Very excited for Bijan to go to the Atlanta Falcons. But like, does Aaron Rodgers have any shot in New York against or with the Jets? And some of these players that were taken on the draft day, are they ones that you would look at and say, you know what, I'm going to take a flyer on fill in the blank. So Michael Fabiano, all things around the NFL Network, or the NFL and fantasy football, will be with us coming up here in a few minutes. We are looking forward to Suns and Nuggets tonight. I went on Saturday. It's interesting, I get into town on Saturday. Love how progressive Denver is as a city. I'm going to get into this a little bit later on in the show after being up here the last 3 days. Doesn't mean we don't have it figured out in Phoenix. It's just some things that you look at. And I took the train from the airport, and it was easy. It was fabulous. And I took the train yesterday to the Diamondbacks-Rockies game, and it was filled with fans. We're looking forward to a great day. Went to the Suns game through my Lyft driver on Saturday afternoon, and he said, point blank, we really don't care about the Nuggets. We're an Avalanche town. So last night I figured, oh, I better watch the Avalanche. They were in a game 7 up here, and yeah, there were people all geeked up and excited, and they ended up losing. And I don't know, I'm just a few days of bumping around up here in Denver where I see some comparisons, I see some contrasts, I see some gaps, and I'm going to get into that a little bit later on in the show. But let's just get into the basketball side of things and tonight. And to go back to game one, it is just one game. Are the things correctable? I thought, I sat in on Mike Malone, the head coach of the Nuggets, on Saturday afternoon. He gets together with the media, and he immediately gets into how they've got to be physical with Kevin Durant, how they have to be physical with Devin Booker, and that's what they got to be, and that's how they can slow those two down. And you know what? They were. It didn't look like the Suns wanted any part of being physical from my view, my seat, at all. They did not want to be pushed around. You know, I think all of us can admit, as we sit here and watch DeAndre Ayton try to battle against Jokic, that it's not a fair fight. It's not. He can say it's a fair fight. It's not a fair fight. There's a reason why that guy is an MVP candidate year in and year out. And, you know, it's somewhat unfair to Ayton that everybody's pounding on him. It's somewhat unfair, but that's the world we live in. Even against an MVP candidate, if you don't show up and have consistent output, not even in a stat sheet, just there's things where he'll get the ball. I know where you guys are going with this, where I'm going with it. DeAndre will get the ball down low 2 feet away and look to dribble out and look for others. And it's just, dude, this is where you have to be tearing down rims. And it just hasn't happened through the years. It just hasn't happened. The idea of, well, he's young, that's not going to apply anymore here. We can't get into that. I thought after the game was over, there was no reason to panic. Denver did what they're supposed to do. In a best-of-7 series, you win your games at home. You win the series. That's how it goes. It's not that hard. It really isn't. You know, through the years, we go through this whole paralysis by analysis part of things, and Denver's supposed to win their games at home. Suns just have to find a way to get a split tonight, and then they go back home. They have 3 days off. They can be all rested up, and Friday night will be crazy in downtown Phoenix, as it should be. Even if the Suns lose tonight, nothing's really happened. All Denver has done is done what they're supposed to do, and that's take care of their home court. Do I think there's going to be better adjustments tonight? Do I think Devin Booker doesn't like to be asked about Jamal Murray? And those two almost got into it the other night, just body motions and things that we saw. Again, I saw a lot of complaining towards officials. That's kind of how the Suns are. I saw Durant on a couple of timeouts. One time he just kept jawing with the Nuggets bench and then made his way over slowly. Things you don't see on TV. And I don't know if they're showing them to you or not. But the frustration level the other night was palatable. I've seen this. It's how they are. There is concern, I do believe, and I think it's a very fair question about Monty Williams and, you know, what's he doing with his bench? What is he doing with his bench? Guys don't get out there at all. I heard Terrence Ross's name all the way back against Clipper series. I haven't seen him. Cameron Payne's probably the biggest one. I put on my little three-dot thoughts yesterday. You better put the bat phone up, the bat signal out to get the campaign on the floor. Haven't seen it happen as of yet. So tonight, in the series of adjustments, what do we see? The Nuggets made some tough shots, in fairness to them. The game was not close. Durant only had one offensive rebound. I'm looking at the stat sheet as the game is progressing. It's like they're going to get 15, 20 more shots than the Suns. Suns are going to lose. That's that. So you put it behind you if you are a Suns fan and you say, okay, tonight, can they slow down Murray a little bit? Can't be shooting out of his backside as well as he has. And can Ayton do more on the offensive glass and make more plays inside against Jokic and get after Jokic a little bit? I just don't feel like the Suns made him work that hard, to be honest with you. So that's it. You know, I'm very much looking forward to the game. It's cool to see an MVP guy on one end of the floor. It was a pretty amazing performance by Durant in the first quarter, and then after that he kind of disappeared. It's no other way to put it. So that's the story here tonight. The NFL draft, the Cardinals, look, if you've watched this for any period of time through the years, you know I'm not a big fan of the organization from a lot of standpoints, but I'm also, let's be fair on this, when things are good, you say they're good. When things are bad, you say they're bad, and things have been really bad for about the last 13 months until draft night. Monty Austenfort did the exact right thing from my point of view. You take a third pick and you turn it into all sorts of different moves and assets and different picks that will load up next year. And you rebuild this roster from start to bottom. The only question that I think anyone could ask today is, did he hit on players? We don't know. They're all going to say the same thing. Oh, we couldn't believe he was there. He's great. He's this. He's that. We hear that every stinking year around the draft. Every year. You would think your first-round pick, you traded back 12, then up to 6 out of Ohio State. Best lineman in the draft, plug him in and say, see you later for 8 to 10 years. You would think. Okay, we don't know. This organization has a history of taking guys early and they screw it up and crap the bed. That's a fact. I'm not making it up. Don't have an agenda. If you're saying, you know, I'm not being fair, I don't know. Doesn't lie. History shows it. So I like what they did yesterday. It doesn't mean they're going to go win 12 games or be a playoff team this year. You just have to see them dig out of this hole. I don't know if Jonathan Gannon is going to be a good coach. Do you? You may say he's going to be terrible. I don't know that. It's much like Kenny Dillingham at Arizona State. You think he's going to be a great coach? I don't know. You know that? You have the crystal ball? Host the show then. None of us know. But I really liked what the direction was from the Cardinals in the draft. Trade back, trade back, trade back. Get more assets. Get into next year's draft. Have some pieces in place where you could have a couple of high picks next year. And all of a sudden, this thing gets turned around. And this is a two-year rebuild at least. Two-year rebuild at least. Because there's going to be some veteran guys that are going to move on before you're ready to play. Zach Ertz isn't going to be here when they're ready to go, I don't believe. Doesn't mean I don't like him. Doesn't mean he's not great in the locker room. Doesn't mean he's not a great player when he's on the field. But you start to look at guys that are a little bit older and say, are they going to be here when this is all said and done? So I like what they did and liked it a great deal. We'll have Michael Fabiano here in a couple of minutes, and we'll chop up the draft a little bit more. See the Drew Maggi story? It is so great. That's what makes sports great. Yesterday, I went to the Diamondbacks game up here, and it was a bad game. They got their butts kicked. C.J. Cron hit a home run out like a mile and a half. C.J. actually was on my son's soccer team back in the day in Ahwatukee. He's a Mountain Point kid, and he mashed it all yesterday. That stadium is great. I'll talk about that a little bit later in the show. But Diamondbacks are off today. They dodged a bullet up here with Corbin Carroll. He's going to have an MRI. It looks like he dodged a bullet because it was a straight hit on his knee and could have been really bad. And still holding my breath on that one because that kid is the price of admission on his own. Drew Maggi, he ends up getting into a game, getting an RBI, get an RBI. They throw the ball out. He's emotional. The Pirates dugout's losing their minds. We had him on last week. I don't know who's going to play him when the story does come out. When somebody does do the doc or somebody does the feel-good story, I don't know. I don't know if this is as good as it gets for Drew Maggi, but if you missed that over the weekend, that was fabulous. Brittany Griner spoke. Brittany Griner and the Mercury started their workouts over the weekend. We have some content up on the website with Eliam Gabay. You can check that out. And John Wilner usually is with us on Mondays. He had a personal situation, so he's out today, but some of his content is up on the site as well. All right, so here's the deal. We're going to have Fabs on next. And then I'm going to come back and chop it up about this sports city here in Denver and what I've seen, what I've heard, what I've experienced, not just the first time up here. And some of what I see in Phoenix that I wish would change a little bit. It doesn't really have to do with the games themselves. I'm going to get into that as we continue on today here in Denver with the Suns game tonight. Tonight you can follow me over on my social channels, on Twitter in particular. I will be doing some. I don't sit there and live tweet too much. Yeah, what a great shot. Yeah, we got it. Let's look for the offbeat stuff, the fun stuff, some of what we do here at Sports 360 AZ. All right, Fabs is next. Stay with us. All right, as promised, we're going to pivot away from the Suns here in Denver for a little bit and focus in on the fantasy football side of the NFL draft, getting pounded with questions. We have the Hall of Famer with us, Michael Fabiano, nice enough to take some time, senior fantasy analyst with Sports Illustrated. You can hear him on Sirius XM, Fantasy Dirt, and other outlets. So where do you sit today on this Monday? The draft is now behind us. Your biggest winner, Michael, the biggest winner of them all from a fantasy standpoint over the weekend was?
Bijan Robinson. It almost didn't matter where he landed. There was certain teams where it would have been better or worse, but he's still going to end up being like, the top guy in fantasy. Going to Atlanta, I think it's a fine fit. If you're Tyler Allgeier, you're not real thrilled about it, but Bijan's going to be a three down back in a young up-and-coming offense, Drake London, Kyle Pitts, Desmond Ridder. So I already have Robinson ranked among my top six running backs going into next season.
Wow.
Ahead of, Josh Jacobs, Tony Pollard, guys like that, but right in that tier. And remember, I mean, we've seen guys come in like Saquon Barkley, like Zeke, as rookies and be top three or four running backs. So it certainly is very possible, and the workload's going to be there for Bijan Robinson. But you know what, Brad? Honestly, this draft was not really fantasy friendly, at least not in redraft formats, like not for 2023.
Why so?
Players ended up on teams where they're going to be in committees. Like, I'll give you an example. Zach Charbonnet. Why would the Seahawks draft him that early when they have Ken Walker? Like, it doesn't make any sense to me. But now you got to worry about Ken Walker being in a committee because Charbonnet is a good back. All the wide receivers, except for maybe Jordan Addison, ended up where they're going to be third, maybe, on the depth chart at best. Jackson Smith and Jigba, he's the three in Seattle right now. Zay Flowers, he's probably the three in Seattle. And that's in Baltimore, that doesn't include Mark Andrews. That's just at wide receiver.
Yeah, Reed and Green Bay.
Right. I mean, yeah. Quentin Johnston, he's what, the four in LA? So it's not a great redraft situation for the rookies. Now, injuries can happen and things can change, of course. There's no question about that. But right now, on the surface, it's not a great. I mean, even Jahmyr Gibbs, like the Lions traded Swift, which is great.
Yeah.
Because that would have been a nightmare to have. He's going to share the work with David Montgomery. And, I got to remind you about the curse of Barry Sanders. Just saying. Every running back the Lions have drafted in the top three rounds since Sanders retired has either gotten hurt or been a bust. I hope this is not the case for Gibbs. He's really good. But we said the same thing about Swift and Javid Best and others. So, but he's an RB2 type. In PPR, he could be very good because that offense is going to be very good.
Okay, one thing. So, Bijan. Oh, go ahead. Finish your thought.
So even some of the other running backs, right? I mean, you're looking at Devon Achane as a third down guy in Miami. They just there's and the Charbonneau's not going to be starting, or Charbonnet's not going to be starting. I get confused between Charbonnet and Charbonnet because you know it's just he's got that last name. It reminds me of wine.
Right. Thank you.
Yeah. So there's just not. I mean, the quarterbacks like it's not great. Like Anthony Richardson would be my favorite, and I don't know if he's going to start in week one because he's so mobile. That's what you want in a rookie quarterback. Yeah, Bryce Young is good, but I need to see that he can do it at that size because he's not tall and he's very slight frame at the next level. CJ Stroud, I mean, who's he got around him in Houston? There's not much. So
Right.
it's not a great it's not a great redraft class. Now, these guys could long term be very good, and many of them likely will, but for 2023, I don't love this class.
Okay, so how early? Let's say I have the, because I do, in one of my leagues, I have the fourth pick. If I take Bijan Robinson, would you laugh at me? Yeah, I think that's the point, though. It's that early you could take him.
But the thing is, top four, like right now you're looking at Jefferson as the one, McCaffrey as the two. For me, it's probably Ja'Marr Chase and Cooper Kupp. And then you're looking at maybe Austin Eckler and then Robinson. But four is not far off. No, I mean, hell, if you took Bijan too, I wouldn't laugh at you.
Yeah.
I wouldn't do it myself. But I mean, if you love the talent and you look back and you think, well, can he be Saquon or Zeke as a rookie? Sure. That's within the realm of possibility. No question about that.
All right, before I get you out of here, I want to go through some running back names I just jotted down. You mentioned one of them in Tony Pollard. And this is taking Mike, if you haven't seen Michael before, most of you have, but if you haven't, he's an enormous Cowboy fan. That's his problem, not mine. And so when Zeke is gone, or is Zeke gone, that's up in
I
the
don't know.
air. Tony
Yeah.
Pollard, where are you at on Tony Pollard? I'll throw another name at you, Rashad White, who I love in Tampa Bay in his
Yep.
situation. Those are two guys. Where are you at on those two now that we're through the draft, we're through free agency for the most part?
Well, Pollard and White are big winners right now. But would I be surprised if the Cowboys re-sign Zeke? No. I mean, Leonard Fournette's still out there too. But I was surprised they didn't go with a running back. I really was. I didn't love the Cowboys draft, to be quite honest with you, at all. Maybe I'll be wrong. I didn't love it though. You know, it wasn't a sexy draft at all. I mean, hopefully, you know, Mazi Smith comes in and helps fortify the middle of the defense, which was a need. But Pollard, I don't see his value going significantly higher than it already was because he's already a top eight, top 10 running back. And Brad, I don't know that he can be like a Zeke or a Saquon in their salad days when. Like they're just putting up crazy numbers and touching the ball 350. Like I don't think Pollard's that guy. So whether it's Ronald Jones, Yuck, or you know, or Deuce Vaughn, who's like 3 inches shorter than me for crying out loud, and I'm vertically challenged. Like
Yes.
I don't get it. I don't know why we didn't draft, and I say we because I'm a Cowboys honk. Why we didn't draft a running back? Maybe if you know if Zach Charbonnet was on the board, maybe we would have went there. I don't know. So anyways. But Pollard's value doesn't go up significantly because his value is already pretty high. But White, yeah. I mean, the Buccaneers didn't draft the running back. So right now it's like it's Rashad White and it's, you know, Chase Edmonds. So unless the Buccaneers do something else, and I don't know why they would sign a running back that would put a dent into White's touches, like White's value goes up. Like he's in that, you know, RB2 flex conversation and more solidified in that conversation as well.
Last name, Aaron Rodgers.
Oh, hey man, listen, I hope he doesn't fall into the Brett Favre scenario where he was not very good in New York. I think he had 22 picks that year and 22 touchdowns. But hey, he goes to a spot where they're, you know, they're doing everything they can to protect him on the offensive line, of course. They have weapons there with Garrett Wilson. They signed Lazard, who is his guy from Green Bay. They have Breece Hall coming back, hopefully from an ACL sooner rather than later. They've got weapons. They've got Mecole Hardman. Do I think Rodgers is locked and loaded as a top 12 fantasy quarterback? No. But do I think he could be a low QB1 or a high QB2? Yes, no question about that. But I'm trying to temper my expectations. I will say this, though. Anytime in the past where we have maybe doubted Rodgers, he's kind of put us in our place. And so after last year where he wasn't very good statistically, I'm sure he's looking to bounce back. So, yeah, he's probably more of a QB2, a high QB2 type.
Let you go off that. Appreciate your time as always. I know you're jammed. See ya.
All right, brother.
There's Michael Fabiano. You can catch all of his content, of course, at SI.com and SiriusXM. And right here, we're back with more after this timeout from Denver. All right, we are going to get into Denver here a little bit because I've been spending the last couple days here, and I was here in March and for March Madness with ASU and GCU. They both played up here, the same arena, Ball Arena. And I'm always about what is best for our community, and sometimes it upsets people or, quite frankly, pisses them off when I go down this road in Phoenix because I'm not here to downgrade where we are. And people say, well, if you like it so much, move. Well, it's not so much that. It is little things that are big things. I'll give you an example. So I've used the rail system up here. Rail, to me, is the way to go. Some people do not like the rail. They want to get in their cars. They want to drive. And it's just, for me, I'd rather be able to sit on a train and be relaxed and not have to deal with parking and all of that stuff, be dropped off in front of the venue, go do my thing, and then get in the train and go home. And I've done that up here. I cannot do that in Phoenix. I took the train about 2 weeks ago. I was at changing hands on Camelback and Central. I tried to get the train and the pay machine didn't work. And then the conductor's like, well, just get on, don't worry about it. I get on. It was like 4 p.m. on a weekday. There were, almost 3 altercations on the train. And there was just nonsense that I don't need, don't want. And then I get up here, and the train goes right to the airport, as does ours. And I'm able to hop right on the train, and there's security, and there's workers that are getting from the airport back down to Denver. Very relaxed. Wi-Fi works great. That's not always the case when I'm using the rail. So this is my first thing, is like, rail's great. You may not like rail, but I think being progressive, like up here, getting to sporting events and being able to walk from where I'm sitting about, like half a mile, pick up the train, take it down. Went down to Coors Field yesterday, got dropped off right down at Central Station. The train was packed with families. It's a Sunday game. There was a vibe. There was an excitement. Kind of reminds me of BART up in the Bay Area. We don't really have that in Phoenix yet. I saw where recently Gilbert said, no, we don't want rail. Chandler doesn't want rail. The Southeast Valley is the fastest growing part of our valley. Fans talk about how they want to get to games and get out of games. Yesterday's game was a blowout at Coors Field, and I was in and out of there in almost 3 hours. It was great. It was great. Love the facility that they have up here that the Rockies play in. Our facility is up in the air right now. I understand where the Diamondbacks are coming from. I totally do, in terms of upgrading and upkeep of the stadium. Does the Diamondback view of staying downtown, is that true? Or is it just negotiating and leverage to ultimately be where I've said through the years are going to end up, which is across the 202 from the Cubs and the big hole in the ground? Or possibly where Phoenix Rising was, off the 202 and 101. The epicenter of Maricopa County is Tempe Marketplace now. It is. Where the 101 and 202 hit, that's the epicenter. People get mad about this. Well, Glendale's great. Glendale's this. Glendale is fine. It's fine if you live in Glendale. It's fine if you live in Surprise. It's okay if you live in Scottsdale. If you live in Gilbert or Queen Creek, it's not good. Here, everything is centrally located. I'm going to take the rail today downtown, probably walk over to the game. I might take a ride share on the way home tonight, but everything is centrally located. Founding fathers that decided, let's build the stadium for the Cardinals over on the west side because we believe all the stuff's going to the west side. We're never going to have everybody together. Never going to have everybody together. Can we get a freeway that goes, or a bridge rather, that goes over I-17 so the rail can run out to the stadium in Glendale on game days? In my world, I would love a time where we could all be connected by rail and not have to rely on auto as much for these long drives and use public transportation. That's my own little rant, my own little riff. This is a hockey town. We're not a hockey town yet. I don't know how the vote's going to go this week. It's three ballot measures that have to pass for the Coyotes. I feel like it is in the best interest for the Coyotes to be in Tempe. I do. I do feel like there's some of Phoenix pushing back. When people get mad about my suggestion that we better hang on to these mega events because Vegas is coming fast, and they are. You know, I'd love to see F1 in Phoenix, but no, they're going to go to Vegas. Yes, it's great we have the Final Four next year. It's great we've had Super Bowls, but you have to keep moving forward and being progressive. And I feel like there's a little bit of, like, up here, it's planned well. It is. The baseball team stinks up here, and they had a great crowd yesterday. Easy to get into, easy to get out of, a lot of fun. The Avs is what people are, what people cared about up here until last night when they lost. This is an avalanche town. My Lyft driver on Saturday is like, you're going to the Nuggets game? No, we care about the Avs up here. Different market. It's kind of cool. A lot of athletes live up here too, just like in Phoenix. So that's my little rant, my little riff, being up here a couple trips. The arena that we see the Suns play in, Footprint, I don't think it's going to be called Footprint much longer. I don't. It's my own view, my own look at tilt the head, hear the business stuff that's going on around town. It's not going to be called Footprint much longer. It'll have a new name attached to it. American Wholesale Mortgage, I don't know. It's going to have a name attached to it that's different. Naming rights come and go. But up here, I just feel like getting into and out of and more of a community. People are nice up here, just like in Phoenix. I think we're all pretty West Coast, laid back. You know, yesterday at the Rockies game, well, my son and his wife, and they're wearing the Diamondbacks gear. Me, I'm neutral. I'm wearing like an orange shirt or something. But everybody's very friendly and hospitable. It feels a lot like Phoenix. It's different in that it's a hockey town first, or was until last night. And we'll see about Deion Sanders. There's some people up here that aren't totally sold on the whole Deion thing. All right, I have riffed enough. I am done. Going to head over to the arena. Tonight we will be at Ball Arena. Probably around, let's see, games at 7 in Phoenix. Probably get the arena around 4:30. You'll start to see stuff pop up on my social. I love watching Durant go through his pregame. Monty will talk. We'll get some news and notes out. A little bit of this, a little bit of that. They'll be over on Twitter. Jared Nielsen is our chairman of the board back in Phoenix. We appreciate him as always. He is the Iron Man. And we will talk to you tonight on social. And I think I'm going to try to jam in a show tomorrow before I catch my flight home. All right. See ya.